Welcome to the Sportscast, January 17th, 2020. If you haven't yet, please subscribe on all our channels, YouTube, Periscope, iTunes. And if you're on iTunes, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. And visit us on thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net. This episode is brought to you by InstaBible. Download InstaBible for iOS. Share a verse and share it to the world. You can go to InstaBible app and search it on the Apple App Store. Championship Sunday 2020, a very significant Sunday. It's a Sunday before you go into the Super Bowl, and we determine who are the winners. And of course, joining us today to flesh this out a little bit, Jeff Favre. Welcome back to the Sportscast.
Thanks, Santiago. I appreciate it.
Jeff, your Kansas City Chiefs are making a second appearance 2 years in a row. And he'll be hosting the AFC Championship, but this time it's a different opponent. It's not the Patriots. How do you see this matchup against the Tennessee Titans?
Last year, when they played the Patriots, the big advantage the Patriots had was they were the more experienced team. And now this year, playing the Titans, the Chiefs, I think the Chiefs hold that role. You know, they've been there. Even though they fell short last year, they've been there before. I think, too, the big difference that I see is the New England Patriots secondary was just full of really, really good players. And for the Tennessee Titans, not to take anything away from them, but they've really struggled to slow down teams' passing games. Fortunately for them, they played the Ravens and Patriots, who really aren't built to test you vertically. So it's going to be an interesting matchup. The Chiefs last week, I thought the key for them last week was to come out fast, and they did the complete opposite. They came out terrible and got down by 24 points, but still ended up winning by 20. I would just say, though, that the Titans can't how big like early, because they'll just, you know, they'll slow roll you and bleed the clock and run the ball 100 times, and you'll be in trouble trying to come back from a big deficit.
Yeah, let's go back to that Houston game. Obviously, the Texans went up 24-0, and Kansas City came back with 40 unanswered points. Actually, like, they end up with 52 points. What was it? Was it Houston's game plan that really said, hey, we got to score, you know, a lot and fast? What was your recap after that game?
If you look back at the first couple drives, the only thing that stopped the Chiefs' offense was drops. And we're not talking about contested catches, difficult catches. The first drive, Travis Kelce's wide open, and he just drops an easy first down. And then on the second drive, DeMarcus Robinson is wide open, and he drops an easy first down. So the Chiefs just had to settle down. And then, you know, they got the punt block. They average on defense. I don't know if team or either. What big thing, you can actually come out a little too overhyped, and it creates the jitters. You know, you're nervous. You don't make the plays that are normally routine. And the Chiefs just weren't making the routine plays, and the Texans capitalized on it. And then Tyreek Hill fumbles. So the Texans scored three touchdowns really quickly, but it was really just three plays. It was a blown coverage, a fumbled punt, and a blocked punt. So I think it was mostly self-inflicted wounds. Once the Chiefs settled down, they had seven straight scoring drives where they scored touchdowns. And to me, that was the story of the game. The Texans' defense, their only hope against the Chiefs was that the Chiefs just dropped the ball. And I think the Titans' defense is a little bit better than the Texans, but the Titans' defense is really susceptible to the big play, and they were 31st in the NFL in red zone defense. So to me, the Chiefs' offense is going to move the ball, and they're more than likely going to score a lot of points. It's just a matter of whether or not the Titans' offense can slow the game down on their side and make it tougher on the Chiefs that way.
Now, here's the question. Can question is, can the Kansas City Chiefs stop Derrick Henry and the running game?
No, they can't. But the first matchup between the Titans and Chiefs, Derrick Henry had 180 yards and two touchdowns, and it still took a complete choke job for the Chiefs to lose the game at the end. So let's say he gets 180 yards and two touchdowns again. That still might not be enough, because in that game, in that first matchup, the Chiefs had a touchdown called back by a penalty that it was the right call, but it was just such a dumb play by the Chiefs. They had a play where Tyreek Hill was running uncontested and Patrick Mahomes just overthrew him. And then there was a third play where the Chiefs running back fumbled and the Titans returned it for a touchdown. So that's a 21-point swing in a game that ended up being a 3-point spread. So the Titans had every possible thing bounce their way, and they won by 3 points. Could that happen again? I mean, yeah, it could, but it's very unlikely. So I do think that Derrick Henry, he's going to get his yards. He's going to make some plays. He's probably even going to score a touchdown or two. But I look back at the last couple weeks and I say the Titans have relied on the other team turning the ball over to score. Against the Patriots, the Titans offense only scored 14 points. If they score 14 points against the Chiefs, you know, they're going to lose by 20. So they're going to have to score more than what they have. The Ravens kept turning the ball over, and that's what really killed the Ravens.
How about Ryan Tannehill, Jeff? Is he a force to be reckoned with?
I wouldn't take it as far as to say a force to be reckoned with, but if you keep him within the structure of the offense, and if you run the ball really well, play action, and let him throw the deep ball down the field, he can definitely do those things. So throw that YOLO ball into double coverage, and he'll turn the ball over. You know, he turned the ball over against the Patriots. He should have turned the ball over against the Ravens, but they dropped a couple routine interceptions. So I think Ryan Tannehill is definitely an upgrade to Marcus Mariota. Ryan Tannehill absolutely, positively can make positive plays and even big plays. But let's not turn him into Joe Montana either.
He's definitely not in that level with Brady or with Eli Manning. But tell me about the Titans' defense. Can they stop Kansas City or at least slow them down a bit?
The Titans' defense, when I watch it, what I see, I really like their linebacker group. I think right up the middle, they're really, really solid. Both their defensive tackles, Jarrell Casey and Jeffrey Simmons, are very good players. And if you get predictable pass situations, then they can get after the passer a little bit. But my concern with the Titans, would just be that when the Chiefs spread them out, they don't have the horses to run with the Chiefs. When the Chiefs put Tyreek Hill, Mecole Hardman, Sammy Watkins, and Travis
Jeff went off the air a bit. He's probably in the back roads of Pennsylvania.
That first matchup, the Chiefs were missing 3 out of their 5 starting offensive linemen, and at one point they were down 4 out of the 5. And that really changed the game. They were able to hit Mahomes a little bit. I'm not saying they'll never touch Mahomes this game, but I also don't think he's going to be under siege and under constant pressure. So, to me, if the Titans just try to go man-to-man in the secondary, Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce are just going to eat them alive. But if they take, you know, calculated risk, and they can get pressure on Mahomes, I think that's their only hope, really. They have to try to disrupt the timing of the receivers with Mahomes.
Yeah, that's something that we were discussing here in the sportscast. Who do they need to stop? Kelce, Mahomes, or Hill, or even Williams? And it's Mahomes. You got to slow him down. You got to make him impossible to throw those passes, because if it's not him, that ball cannot get to Kelce. What is the most important offensive player, besides Mahomes, for Kansas City right now?
So, when I look at it, when you look at last week, the Texans decided, no matter what, we're not going to let Tyreek Hill beat us. They doubled him pretty much every snap. And then you saw in the third quarter, they tried to play him one-on-one, and they had to grab him from behind to prevent an easy touchdown because he just blew past Roby. My point with sharing that is that I think the Titans are going to try to take away Kelce and take their chances on Tyreek Hill. So when Mahomes has those opportunities to hit the deep ball to Hill, he has to hit them. And again, I could be proven to be completely wrong, but the Texans, they didn't want Kelce just to kill them over and over again on 10 and 15-yard gains. The Texans didn't want Tyreek Hill to score the 70-yard touchdown, so Kelce killed them on 10 and 15-yard gains. I think Mike Vrabel is going to take the opposite approach. He's going to double Kelce and bracket Kelce and try to jam him at the line, and he's going to have some situations where Tyreek Hill and Mecole Hardman and Sammy Watkins are going to be one-on-one. Now, the thought behind that is it's cold weather, it's harder to throw the ball down the field, and, you know, there's just a greater chance that you miss a long throw than a short throw. So I think the Titans are going to take their chances. They're going to make Mahomes hit those deep plays. And it sounds counterproductive when you say it out loud, but if you let Mahomes just throw 10-yard passes to Kelce all day, that you're going to have a really hard time stopping him. So I think one of the keys is going to be, I mean, Tyreek Hill is going to be open. That's just, in their first matchup, Tyreek Hill had 150 yards, and he had a 60-yard touchdown that should have been an easy walk-in, and Mahomes missed him. So Tyreek Hill could have had an easy, no, I shouldn't say easy. Tyreek Hill could have had 200 yards in that first game, and I really don't think that Vrabel's going to change much. I think he's going to continue to make Tyreek Hill and the outside receivers beat them instead of letting Travis Kelce go bananas.
Yeah, that's something that you gotta realize. You know, Hill will be open. He's one of the fastest players, or the fastest player in the NFL, wide receiver wise. Running back Damian Williams had a good game. How important is he with the Kansas City offense?
So, Damian Williams is one of those guys where he's been a little bit hit or miss. He's always capable of the big play, and he does have a little bit of a nose for the end zone. I mean, you know, he scored 3 touchdowns last week. He scored 3 touchdowns in the AFC Championship game last year. He scored a touchdown against the Colts in the playoffs last year. So he's capable. I would just say, in my opinion, the key for Damian Williams is to get what yards are there. You know, don't get too fancy and try to turn everything into a home run, because a lot of teams, when they're playing the Chiefs, they're just terrified of getting beat deep. So the running yards are going to be there, you know, 5 to 7 yards at a time if you just take what the defense gives you. Damian Williams is, you know, we've seen it. He had an 84-yard touchdown against the Chargers. He had a 91-yard touchdown run against the Vikings. He's capable of those big plays. But where he can really make it difficult on defenses is just taking the 7 yards that's there when it's available. So that's really what I want to see from him. If you can get 7 yards on first down or second down, that gives you a great opportunity to keep your offense on the field and extend drives.
After seeing the Titans beat 2 Goliaths, the New England Patriots and the Baltimore Ravens, I cannot underrate them, Jeff. I cannot overlook them. Yes, some people say this might be the easiest path for Andy Reid to get to the Super Bowl, but Tennessee is – no one has – I mean, you can say some people have not figured them out yet, but can you – I mean, you can't underestimate their momentum right now, can't you?
The Titans shouldn't be overlooked. They – look, anytime you win a road game in the NFL, it's hard. Anytime you win – a playoff road game, it is incredibly hard. The Titans won back-to-back road playoff games against quality opponents. So if anyone's overlooking them, they're clinically insane. Like, they shouldn't be overlooked. I also believe that the Chiefs are really good as well. So I think for the Titans to win, they need the Chiefs to do some dumb stuff, just to make it blunt. They need the Chiefs to shoot themselves in the foot a little bit. And that, hey, like I said, in that first matchup, the Chiefs shot themselves in the foot over and over and over again. So it could happen. But I don't think anyone's really overlooking the Titans. I just think that they've all, as great as they've played, they've also had a perfect storm. Because where you can beat the Titans is to test them vertically. And the two teams that they played can't throw the ball vertically. I mean, the Patriots this year couldn't throw the ball down the field against anybody. And the Ravens, we saw what happens when you force Lamar Jackson to throw the ball deep and outside the numbers. He's just not, that's not his strength. So I think it's a combination of things. But I think inside the Chiefs locker room, the coaches, the players, they understand. They have to play a good game to win. The Titans are a hard-nosed, fundamentally sound, quality team, and I don't think anyone inside Kansas City's locker room is overlooking them in any way.
Yeah, absolutely. The game is this Sunday at 3:05 p.m. on CBS, so definitely keep your eyes open. This is the first of the big games. Let's go to the NFC. Packers and Niners. Packers did beat the Niners earlier this season. I believe it was in San Francisco. How do you see this matchup? Obviously, Aaron Rodgers, Hall of Fame quarterback, and then the Niners, the new kid like in the block. How do you see this matchup?
One thing that we see so many times is playoff matchups never go exactly like the first matchup did. So, I mean, you can look at 100 examples throughout NFL history where a game that was a blowout in the regular season doesn't play out that way. So a good example is in 2014, the Seahawks crushed the Packers in the regular season. And then the Packers went into Seattle, and they controlled the game until the last 5 minutes. And if not for just a gigantic choke job by the Packers, they would have went to the Super Bowl. So I say all that just to say this. I lean towards the Packers in this game for two reasons. One is the later in the season you get, the more your quarterback matters. And although Aaron Rodgers isn't prime Aaron Rodgers anymore, I still trust him more than I trust Jimmy Garoppolo. And two, no matter how much you try to fight it, I think the Niners putting a beat down on the Packers early in the year might make them just a little bit overconfident. So I think it'll be a great game. And the 49ers defense is just filled with great players. So it definitely wouldn't shock me if the 49ers win, but I definitely lean towards the Packers because of the quarterback matchup and just because of that mental side that when you really beat a team badly, sometimes it can make you a little bit complacent.
Yeah, something to definitely look at. What do the Niners need to do to win this game?
If you're the 49ers, you want to run the ball as much as possible, and you want to get the Packers in predictable passing situations. So, I mean, Aaron Rodgers is still great, but no matter who the quarterback is, when you have a front four the way the Niners do, if they know that you have to throw the ball, they're going to get a pass rush on you because they have Bosa, who's great. They have Armstead, who's great. They have D Ford, who, as a situational pass rusher, is great. So the Niners just have so many guys that can get after the quarterback. If you get into a situation where they know that you have to throw the ball, it's difficult. It's tough to protect your quarterback for that long.
What do the Packers need to do to win the game?
They have to protect Rodgers. They have to win first down. The Packers can really run the ball when they're playing well. So if the Packers are going to win the game, they need to see a lot of third threes and third fours and not third and ten. So first, winning first and second down is just a gigantic key for the Packers. So if you can get it to third and three or third and four, then your entire playbook is open. And even Rodgers scrambling and running around, you know, he can pick up first downs with his legs. So protecting Rodgers is a big key. And then on the other side of it, get Garoppolo in the passing situation. If the Niners run the ball well on first down and they can use the play-action pass to get the ball to Kittle and to get the ball to Sanders, Garoppolo can do that. But if you get Garoppolo into third and 10 and he has to drop back and throw, he struggles a bit. I mean, we saw it last week. After Garoppolo threw that interception against the Vikings, the 49ers pretty much neutered him. They just kept running and running and running and keeping the passing game really simplistic. So if you get Garoppolo in a pass or in a situation where they have to pass the win, he can be a little erratic.
Something to definitely look at. Of course, Garoppolo in the second or third season. Well, I think it's his third season starting for the San Francisco 49ers. So definitely, pretty upbeat about that. He's playing home at Levi Stadium, but you know, Levi Stadium is not the most dangerous home, like, you know, place to play at or anything. It's kind of, I can't say neutral or that, but it's not, you know, Green Bay, or it's just not Kansas
right.
City. It's just not a hostile environment. It could be in the future, but it isn't right now. So it's also Aaron Rodgers' hometown as well.
Yeah, and I'm sure, you know, he's going to carry that little extra chip on his shoulder for the rest of his career. I mean, the Niners were his hometown team, and you know, they passed him up to take Alex Smith. So
that's quite something.
Not that Alex Smith has been terrible by any means, but he hasn't been the player that Aaron Rodgers has.
Yeah, and of course he's with the Redskins right now. Anyways, are you ready for the final predictions for Championship Sunday?
Absolutely.
Tennessee Titans and Kansas City, Jeff. What is your final conclusion, score, and everything?
So, I think maybe, in a way, falling behind the Texans is going to be a blessing in disguise to the Chiefs. I don't think that they're going to come out that way 2 weeks in a row and fall behind. The Tennessee Titans have not won a game where they fell behind by more than 10 points. So, with all that said, what I see happening, the Chiefs are going to jump out to a lead early. The Titans are going to keep fighting. The Chiefs are going to win, and the final score is going to be 35-24, but the Chiefs are going to have to score a touchdown late to come up with that final score. So it's going to be a 24-28 game with 4 or 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter, and the Chiefs are going to score a touchdown to put it away.
Now, in devil's advocate, how would Tennessee win?
If the Chiefs turn the ball over and if they have a repeat of the Tennessee game in Tennessee where their special teams are absolutely terrible.
And the score line would be by 3 points.
That's right.
Let's go to San Francisco. Green Bay is San Francisco. Jeff, what is your final conclusion over that matchup?
You know, I like the Niners defense maybe more than anybody, because I think that when they went through that phase where they had a ton of injuries, people forgot how great the Niners defense is capable of being. But with that said, I can't be a hypocrite with everything I just said previously. The later in the season you go, the more your quarterback matters. And it's not that I think Jimmy Garoppolo is bad or anything like that, but I just don't trust him the way I trust Rodgers in the big moment. So 27-24, the Packers are going to win. And it's going to come down to a situation where it's tied at 24 and the Packers' defense is going to get a stop. Rodgers is going to get the ball back with just enough time to drive down and get the game-winning field goal.
And there you have it. Jeff described it. Aaron Rodgers pulls through. Kansas City and Green Bay. I believe that would be the first Super Bowl that ever happened was between Kansas City and Green Bay, wasn't it?
It was the first Super Bowl. That's right. Yep.
So, ratings high in Miami, so we'll see if that happens. I think it's very doable. From the two games, which one do you think will be the closest?
Oh, man. I tend to think the Packers and 49ers game will be a little bit closer, but I could certainly see both of them coming down to the end. The Chiefs are a seven-point favorite, and they're not a seven-point favorite by accident. So last week, the Chiefs were a 9.5 to 10-point favorite, and they still covered easily after falling behind by 24. So I think the 49ers and Packers game will be the closer game of the two. That doesn't mean I'm discrediting the Titans, but if you have to pick one or the other, that's just what I see.
If Vrabel can outcoach Belichick, can he outcoach Andy Reid? That's a big test.
Yeah, he can. And I mean, if you're being honest from the Chiefs' perspective, that's what we're all nervous about. I thought Andy Reid was great last week because the number one complaint about Andy Reid among any Chiefs fan, look, he can be a great play caller. He comes up with a great strategy. He comes up with a great game plan. But sometimes Andy Reid gets a lead, and he just squats on it. He loses his aggressiveness. Last week, the Chiefs kept the pedal down to the very end. They kept scoring points. They scored 51 points. So I think what Chiefs fans want to see to feel more comfortable is if the Chiefs are up by 14 on the Titans and they have the ball, we want to know that Andy Reid is trying to get a 21-point lead, not run the ball three times and punt it back. So we love Andy Reid. He's a great coach, but we have to see it in the big game.
Exactly. Andy Reid, coming questions when it comes to the big game, why he hasn't won a Super Bowl and things like that. Jeff, what is the best way to reach you to talk to you about Matt Moore?
The best way to follow along is at JT Falver on Twitter. And we hope Matt Moore feels better. He missed practice because he's sick.
Oh,
so
no.
But we don't want to see Matt Moore, all right? We need to see Mahomes the whole game. Unless it's a knee down at the very, very end, then Matt Moore can do that. But get well, Matt Moore.
Is it me, or did Mahomes really display that he can win in big games against Houston?
Mahomes turned it up a notch. I mean, I know statistically it wasn't his best game yardage-wise, but when the Chiefs needed him the most, he was absolutely awesome. So, I think the only bad throw he made the entire game was when he forced it to Hill, and Hill took that big hit. That was probably the only really bad play he had. And, look, when the Chiefs made that comeback, the Titans helped them by turning the ball over on the fake punt and the fumble kick return. But the difference in the game was when the Chiefs had those opportunities, they scored touchdowns every single time. So, yes, I think Mahomes took that next step to be the guy that puts the nail in your coffin when he's given the opportunity.
And there you have it, Jeff, with his analysis of the Kansas City Chiefs. No man that doesn't know, like, who knows so much about Kansas City is Jeff Favre. So follow him on JT Favre. And, of course, follow us on thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net, or on Twitter at thesportscast1. We'll be following through the NBA, the NFL playoffs throughout the weekend. Pretty excited. And then Miami in 2 weeks. We'll see if Mahomes makes his first appearance in the Super Bowl. A young quarterback has plenty of time ahead of him, but he's the one that prefers to start a little bit early, his Super Bowl appearances. Anyways, Jeff, I appreciate you coming on to the Sportscast.
All right, thanks for having me. It's always fun.